Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
And then Isaiah 6, verse 8, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all that I've commanded, I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone, be able to teach and be patient with difficult people. Gently instruct those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts and they will learn the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. And then it says in 1 Peter, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Then Isaiah 6, 8 says, then I heard the Lord asking, whom shall I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Say that together. Here I am, send me. Father, we thank you again for your provision, for your grace and mercy that abounds. We thank you, God, that you do all things well. So as we ask that you'd bless the service this morning, those listening online, we're asking that your Holy Spirit might give us eyes and ears to hear what you say to the church and what you're saying to the church around this nation, and we claim it together in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated. As we said, the year of mercy, grace and mercy. You want to turn this around a little bit? I'm going to get the sound of the ocean and I might leave and go to Carmel. Just that's good. That's good. Thank you. And as we have been seeing, anybody been watching television the last couple of days? See what's going on? The Lord really needs us, because what you're seeing here, well, let me get into it a little bit more. When you see these things, riots, wars, rumors of wars, then you'll know that the time is close. And I don't know about you, but I have not seen the United States. I go back to the 60s, and I was in Chicago during the Democratic Convention, and I don't know if any of you have seen newscasts, some of us older people. I was in that process, and I have to go right by every day going to work at nighttime. I was going to school during the day, and it was the most incredible bedlam that you can ever imagine. And they had newscasters out there, and the police were fighting, and all kinds of things were going on. And I said, you know, I've been in Korea when they had youth riots. You see them downtown, and but not here in the United States. I mean, after all, but we see what we're recognizing is this, all of it has to do with turmoil, with division, with upheaval, and I'm going to have to say something, I'm not going to have to, I'm going to say it, that when the people remove God from the scene, as we have in this nation, it opens the door for the powers of the enemy, And the reason why I'm ministering this, and so many other pastors around the area are ministering, is because we need to again reestablish the nation under God. I mean, right, we need to be calling upon God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And we recognize that we've been talking about ministry through the whole thing and talking about your ministry and your destiny and your calling all part together. We have continued to how to release the anointing and minister to others. I want to go through this. It's very important, as I said, that in the days ahead, we recognize that there is a desire to make this nation like the rest of the world. It's called globalism. And you might think that I'm banging on a drum. Well, yes, I am banging on a drum. And we're wanting people to hear that this is so important, that not just for us who are older, but for our kids and for the generations after this. And there's a desire to completely change the whole foundational principles that I talked about last week at the 4th of July. When you look at, I just took a couple snaps from the online. When you look at what's happening today, cops being shot, 5 of them shot, just because there is, I don't think I've ever seen a racially divided country time in America than perhaps way back. Even the 60s were not this bad, and with Martin Luther King. There's a spirit of division, and I believe that every division, everything that has anything to do with division, the enemy is involved with it. Because it says a house divided against itself cannot stand. And what happened, we have allowed through politics, through everything else, to allow this nation to be divided. The Hispanics are against the blacks are against the Koreans, against the whites, and the Koreans are against this, and all the way down. There's nothing but our individual little pockets. And that's why one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And some of the things that we have, some of the choices that we have made have enabled this country to be so divided. And I'll tell you, we need to pray between now and the end of the year, because I sense, like the prognosticators do, we are going to be in bedlam by what's going on. And when we get to the conventions, when that whole, they're already telling, the voices have come in that say that we are going to disrupt and take over. I don't know if you noticed that one of the big highways was closed here. Was it 580 or 880? I mean, just stop the traffic dead for 5 hours. And it's not to somehow start talking, saying that the sky is falling. What it is to say is that to be forewarned is to be forearmed. And if we, like so many people, are just basically pushing the thing, well, I don't want to hear about that. I've got enough problems of my own. And all the other things. People, you have received a gift with the empowering of the Holy Spirit to change things. To change things. And where the enemy came and turned the world upside down, we are to turn the world right side up again. And no matter how small you feel, no matter how weak you may seem, the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead reigns within you. And you have the ability, because God said you do, to be able to speak life to where there's death. Amen. And like never before, you just see the rage. Let me tell you something. That doesn't come from God. And I care for all people. This has nothing to do with racism. It's just the tool by which racism has allowed the enemy to come in to divide. I grew up in the military. I couldn't, when we came back from Germany, And we went back. My folks, my mom's parents lived in the South. And when I walked back there and I saw, it was terrible. The separation between the blacks and the whites. And I mean, walk into a store, there's a water fountain for Negroes, and there was a water fountain for white people. They had bathrooms that were separated. And I just couldn't conceive that. Because I grew up with, I mean, one of my doctors was a black colonel, and made nothing to me. And what's happening when you look at the separation, we recognize that there is a debt to be paid. But when we bring unity, when there is unity, remember the church? I can't remember the church that a man came in and shot all the people in the church. And the church, what did they do? They came together and prayed. They forgave the man. There was literally a rally behind them. No riots, nothing of what we see today. And the pastor and the other ones, the family members that were killed, they said, we don't want to riot. We forgive them. You cannot fight evil with evil. And they became, I mean, there was a monument to them because they brought peace into the situation where the enemy purposed something for evil. That's what we are to do, church. These were Christian people that did not fall into the traps of trying to allow the division and the contention and the murders to go on. So that responsibility, like I said a couple weeks ago, we have been given stewardship over this nation. We are responsible. We are responsible for what happens spiritually. And I'll tell you, America needs God like never before. Because of all the spirit of division that has been brought into this nation. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through, chapter 3, 1 through 5 said, you should know this, Timothy, Paul's talking to his son in the Lord, that in the last days there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful, proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, incite rebellion, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, justified in their action, but they will reject power that could set them free. Now, this was written thousands of years ago, but it could have been written last night. And that's what happens when we as Christians recognize that this is not something to disturb us or to let things go. It's the call to arms. It's time to rise up, church, army of God. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. We looked at how to stop robbery in your life. We also, we did one service on exposing the tactics of the enemy and reasons why there are for the spiritual attacks, and we went through that. And we also said, what does it look like? And we went through the list of what demonic activity looks like in a person's life. It's not psychological problems. You can't psychoanalyze the enemy. And you can numb yourself out, and I'm not against medication. The doctors told you to take medication, but I want you to also know that the Spirit of God, Jesus says, I am the great physician. And when there is an area of need, what America has is in the and depression is rampant in this. I had statistics. I'll share that how much the number of people and the amount of antidepressants that this nation takes triples any other nation. Antidepressants, where we should be the happiest people in the world. Right? Are we having fun yet? So we looked at some of the characteristics of fear, anger, constant guilt, depression and despondency, physical attacks, not being able to sleep. Those kinds of, there's a demonic activity. And the reason I say that, well, Pastor, aren't you generalizing? No, I'm not generalizing. Let me tell you something. In the Garden of Eden, you could have slept anytime you want to. There was no pills in the Garden of Eden, right? There were no antidepressants necessary there. So everything is the downward spiral of mankind. And the downward spiral happened because we have allowed the enemy to manipulate things. And he will not be stopped by the government, the military. He will not be stopped by the politicians. He can only be stopped by the church of Jesus Christ. And the drum is being banged on so that we can hear. How to move in spiritual authorities for others we looked at. And then, now that we know about our ministry, I said 2 weeks ago, what is the results of it? What are to be the results of our ministry? What is to be our response now that we are aware of these things, that now that we are not ignorant of the enemy's devices? What is to be our response? Someone said, faith in God's word without response is Satan's dream come true. That's why we say we're not only hearers, but doers of the word. His greatest tool is a powerless, actionless church. God's word, James 2:22 and 26, it says, Abraham's faith and deeds work together. He proved that his faith was real by what he did. Anyone who doesn't breathe is dead. And faith that does not do anything is just as dead. I like that translation. Another one says, removing action from faith is like removing breath from a body. All you have is a corpse. And sad to say, there's a lot of dead men, dead women walking. If we're not manifesting the glory of God wherever we go, if we are not releasers of the power of God everywhere we go, then what are we here for? What is the gift that has been given to us? To be put under a bushel basket? What is salt? You see why there's so many Christians, the enemy has to go over and neutralize us. That's why so many are burned out. So many people are so caught up in the things of the world that by the time you come to, there's no more light in this battery, in this light bulb. But when we recognize that a lot of the turmoil that we have to deal with in work, family situations, government, whatever it might be, is to cause us to be dissipated. When you live in a place of turmoil, what happens is you get whacked out. You get depleted. So day after day, if you're going to that situation and you're allowing that to influence you, what happens is that you begin to be dissipated, worn out. And that's what Scripture says. It says, don't be drunk with wine. A lot of people, eyes perked up for that in California. But be filled with the Spirit. For being drunk is dissipation. Now, it goes beyond just drinking wine in excess. The word, a type of the world, is referred to as wine. I'm not against drinking wine in moderation. I don't think Jesus held up grape juice, but in moderation. I don't condone it. I say leave it up to the person. But the word, when we get caught up in the things of the world, we are dissipated. And the best picture of a of dissipation, a word picture, would be to turn on. We had the kids over last week, grandkids, and they love to have this. I mean, even they've got a swimming pool in their, a real swimming pool in their backyard. They like to play in this little kiddie pool. Come in and do all their things and whatever. So Lucas finds a way to get into everything. Lucas is an octopus. He knows how to open doors. He knows how to do, it's amazing. Unlock doors, unlock things, get into the refrigerator, and it's just like, oh my gracious. Adam and April will never be fat. Because I tell you, by the time he goes home, I lay down on my bed and say, oh my God, what just hit us? But what happened, I hooked up the hose and we're about ready to fill up the pool. Went over and got the pool. Lucas makes it to the faucet and he turns the thing on full blast. And the hose goes woof, woof, woof. I'm trying to catch it and whatever. I got soaked. Cat got soaked. Sushi got soaked. Turn it off. He only knows how to turn it one way, and that's the trouble way. But when you think of that, no water got in the pool. It got everywhere else. The hose was dissipated. It had no target. It was hitting everything but what it should have done. And that's what happens when we get entwined with the things of the world. We become dissipated because there's no focus. And our focus at least becomes on existence. Our focus comes on the week, looking for the weekend, looking for escapism. And I tell you, when you live that way, like the world does, you will be dissipated in your ministry. And what it does, it gets pushed down on the priority scale. Life without breath is dead. Faith without works is dead. Right? If you don't give it away, you're not living in faith according to what Scripture says. If you're not using your faith, you are losing your faith. Somebody say amen or help or something. The next area, we're starting part two. 2 weeks ago, we started with action points. What are our place? What is our place now that we know who we are? Now that we're not just sitting on our thumbs or our hands or whatever, sitting on our faith, what is it that we are to do? What does it mean? What does it look like? What is the thought process that I am to entertain in order to release the ministry for the reason why God has left us down here on earth? We went and we put it in the notes so that you could have them there. The first thing, as I said, I will live in my calling, which means I have access to God. One of the things that should encourage you is that God, when you say God, He says yes. When you say Lord or when you say help, He acknowledges it. Even when someone says, God damn it. Now that's pretty caustic, isn't it? He says, what? I remember sitting in my business and this guy was swearing and I said it right to his face. It was in a bar because I was in the bar business. I said, my God's name is not, last name is not damn it. Why don't you go say Buddha damn it? Or Muhammad, damn it. Or anything else except my God. We are to live in our calling. You have been called. I will live as an overcomer. Do you know that you cannot be overcome in God's will? Well, Pastor, that means I have to be in God's will. Oh, yeah, wow. you sure do. I mean, what a terrible thing to be in God's will. Well, I'm not always in God's will. Well, how do you know you're not in God's will? Well, I just know it. I said, well, if you know you're not in God's will, what are you doing there? I'm human. And I make mistakes. Good. How's it going for you? Making mistakes are okay, as long as you learn from them. But if you continually, perpetually do the same thing over and over again, you're not living in faith and you're out of God's will, and you are against you the very resources of hell. Now, a lot of people say, boy, you're bumming me out, Pastor, because I can't be perfect like you. Well, I'm not perfect. I didn't hear a gasp. But I do know one thing, that when I'm outside of God's will, then I am susceptible to being attacked by the enemy. And God says that I will release my mercy upon you, but I can't release my grace until you get back into my will. And I'm smart enough now, after 40 years, to recognize I don't want to go out there again because I don't like getting beat up. And if I do venture out of it because of a knee-jerk reaction or something like that, I realize that I'm outside of God's will. There is something that, well, how do you know if you're outside of God's will? There's a knower. There's something called the Holy Spirit inside of us that becomes grieved. Do you know that you can grieve the Holy Spirit? Because Scripture says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. When I'm outside of God's will, what you're doing, what's happening, is you're breaking that relationship with God. And the Holy Spirit wants to get back into that relationship with God. And we can take the Holy Spirit anywhere we want to. But he longs for that resonating with the Lord. He wants us to be in that place. So when we do something wrong, there'll be just like, oh man, shouldn't have done that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's just it's just grieving the Holy Spirit. We are to be overcomers. And the wonderful thing, I didn't put this verse up there, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, which is one of my favorite verses, it says this, that the temptations that we face are common to man. But with every temptation, God will also give us the strength to be able to bear it and the way out of it. Now, I'll tell you something, that's pretty cool. If we could bottle that, or if we could put it in a pill or something like that, we would be, and guarantee that to happen, we would be gazillionaires to the world. To say, there's nothing God says to you and to me, nothing will be overwhelming to you. I will make sure that it doesn't, and I will also provide a way out of it. I'll tell you, that is one incredible verse. The word temptation has a three-point aspect to it. This is a bunny trail, but you'll learn something from it, I pray. The word temptation has three aspects: the temptation, the trial, and the test. All three of those are wrapped up in that word temptation. And anything that you do in life, those three things are going. It's a temptation that comes from the enemy. The trial is what we go through. And the third thing is a test. And that's God's part. Maybe some of you have heard me teach on this before, but I want to share it again. Teachers good teachers don't want their students to fail, right? How do they determine whether or not a child in their class is passing, getting the information or not? By the test. The test is not so much for the teacher, it's for the student. How much do I know of this? You know, that's why the schools are trying to take away tests now, because it's not fair. Do you know that there's 75 colleges in the United States, big time colleges, that, I think I mentioned it last week, that you can get a degree in history and have no American history studied? You don't have to even take American history to get a degree in history. It's like a, I don't know. It's just, sometimes you just go, and that's exactly what the enemy wants. Just forget about it. But that test, God knows, but he wants to show us, did you pass the test? That's for your revelation. The enemy throws out temptation to us to draw us outside of God's will. That's temptation. You're never going to stop getting that temptation. The enemy will not stop tempting you. He won't. That's his job. But what happens is he becomes weaker and weaker and weaker because you don't give into it. But I guarantee you, he will try some other way to try to get back to seduce you out of God's. He can't have you in God's will because you're too dangerous to him. And he wants us neutralized. The trial, sometimes the difficulties that we go through, man, I'll tell you, it's tough. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's tough. But one thing that we can say that no other people on earth can say, and that is God will not let it overwhelm us, and he will give us the way out. He will. He promised to give us the way out of it. But a lot of people, what they do is they forget the process and they fail the test. And remember what I said about failing a Christian test? You're going to take it over again. So what happens, have you ever walked away and you know that you did right? I did fall into that trap. Anybody ever done that? You just, no way. I'm not even getting close to that. And the Holy Spirit comes and say, good job. Good job. And what happens is more and more those things that you used to do that were traps to you are no longer traps because I'm not going there. Right? And you get stronger. It's building up, it's getting stronger in the faith. I'm not going there. She's not going to be able to get my goat or my sheep or whatever she's after. I'm not going to allow them to dictate to me and to cause my peace to be robbed. And sometimes you only learn that. Sometimes you learn it the hard way, don't you? I remember when I'd argue with Pat, if you can ever imagine that. Well, this is just personal confessions, I guess, today. And typically, I would win the battle because she didn't want to fight. And I'd win the battle. I could out-talk her. I could emote her. And I walk away going, I get about 10 steps away going, I feel terrible. And sometimes I was too doggone prideful to go back and say I'm sorry. So I'd feel miserable for a long time. As long as I wanted, I was miserable. And I said, I don't like being miserable. Pat and I don't argue anymore. I let her win. I don't argue anymore with her because I don't want to feel lousy. We have a discussion. You don't think this way? I don't think. Yes, here we go. Now let's talk about it. And if I start to get elevated in my voice, I say, I'm not going because I'm Italian and we talk loud. We talk in capital letters. We don't scream. We just talk in capital letters. So what happens, I'm not going. It's like I hit an invisible ceiling that used to be here, but it's here now. Because I don't want her to be hurt, and I don't want me to be hurt, so consequently, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And that's what I teach people in marriage counseling. It's not worth it. That's why Paul says, the scripture says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. You know why? It's worse the next day. You feel lousier. So I will chase Pat around the house if I do something. I'll chase the dog around the house. Sushi, I'm sorry that I did that to you. I don't want anything robbing my joy. Even to the time and the expense of saying, I'm wrong and I know I'm not wrong. But what I'm doing is I'm not giving the enemy a foothold. And if he can't grab on something, he can't grab on something. If there's no handle to it, he can't get a hold of it. I've told you the story when we were moving from Illinois, we had these big wardrobe boxes. You know what a wardrobe box is? It's about this big, about that high. You put your clothes in it. And you can put as many clothes in as you can. It's got handles on the side. You can pick it up and move it. Well, we got one, loaded it up, clothes, and I went like this, and they forgot to put the holes in the thing. And I'll tell you something, you can't pick up that thing without the handles on it. I mean, it's too big to go around. It was terrible. It didn't have the holes. Didn't have the handles. No place to grab. That's the way it is with the enemy. He's looking for handles. He's looking for handles, things that he can grab a hold of. And if you don't give him any handles, he can't grab a hold of it. Amen. Overcomer, quickly. God's authority, and we went through this a couple weeks ago. The right to take control spiritually. Then I have the ability to change things. If you're in a position where you are uneasy, unhappy, you have the ability to change those things in God's will. And instead of you trying to get out of the thing, change it. Change it. And sometimes it's tough. And when it comes to the place where you can't, when you've done everything you know, and God says, now you can go out. There's a lot of people that are doing things right now that God wanted over a long time ago in their lives. There's a lot of things that God wanted you to change in your circumstance. And what happens so often, what we do is we just sort of coexist with it. Well, that's just the way they are. Or that's the way things are. And God says, I put you at this place for a reason. You're here. We have the ability to change things. We are a minister of the Lord. We are to be used by God. We went through all this. I will use the keys of the kingdom. I will use the keys of the kingdom. Whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever I loose on earth. So when you see something that's not right, if it's not the same in heaven is what you're seeing. Now let's say it there. If what you're seeing is not the same way in heaven, then you have the ability to be able to change it. I will take the keys of the kingdom, Lord. And I come against that confusion, that fear, that debauchery, the spirit of Antichrist. I come against that in the name of Jesus Christ. And what we do is we neutralize it. And the reason why people don't do it is because they don't feel like they have the authority to be able to do it. and the enemy tells you you don't have the authority, who do you think you are? Didn't you just yell at the cat last night or whatever you did? Yeah, I guess I don't. I guess it's true. I'm not. I just said not. And the devil goes, yes. And the Lord goes, oh. The right to bind and to set people free. Now, next, real quickly here. I know that I am God's ambassador. You are a Christian. And everywhere, do you know what an ambassador is? Someone that represents. One of my friends in when we were in Korea was the assistant ambassador, son. And his father, high ranking, he represented the United States in Korea. He represented all that the United States represented, was here in that in Korea. And he had the honor, in fact, his house was the United States. The ground of the ambassador, the embassy, is the United States because the ambassador is there. What we have is that we house the Spirit of the living God. We are a representative of God Almighty on this earth. Everywhere we go is where the kingdom of God is. We bring the kingdom of God into every situation that we face each day. And we have the ability to be mobile. So that's why Jesus says, the kingdom of God is at hand. What was he saying? He says, it's right here. And where we go, where we step, the kingdom of God is here. Does that make sense? So don't start acting like the devil, because you will not do a good job of it. Some of you used to do a good job of it. But we are not ambassadors of hell. Everywhere you go, everywhere you set your foot, the kingdom of God is there. And you have right to that place. I hope you can see that, hear that. Next, I know that I am equipped. Equipped. You have everything that's necessary to be able to accomplish the purpose that God put you on this earth for. You've got the gifts of the Spirit that we talked about. You've got the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He's given you the tools. And all you got to do is ask Him. And you may not be a theologian. You not may not know what all the gifts are. But you ask God, Lord, help me in this situation. You literally are, 1 Corinthians 12:11, all these are to work for, are the work of one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as He determines. You have the word of knowledge. You have the word of wisdom. You have the discerning of spirits. You have the gift of faith. You have the gift of healing. You have the gift of tongues and interpretation. You have the gift of prophecy. Those are part of who you are, because you've been called as a minister to the Lord and an ambassador. All you'd had to do as an ambassador over in Korea, he picks up the phone and he can talk to the United States, the governing powers in the United States, and whatever is necessary, that the United States is there to back that ambassador up. I will live like a conqueror. This is one of my greatest, can't even think of the word, objectives. We are to live like a conqueror. Let me tell you something. As I said, the kingdom of God is where you put your foot down. And the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, because you're going to step into the kingdom because God's already prepared a way for us. Do you understand that? You're walking into a place that has already been established for you. And you are the dynamic through which the Spirit of God is released. Some of those places are challenging, for the reason why so that you can know how to defeat the powers of the enemy, not fall into its trap, understand what you're learning, and also recognize that God put me here for a reason. Amen, or oh me, or somebody. More than a conqueror, growing every day, possessing the kingdom every day, more and more. I'm growing in the things of the Lord. I'm understanding what God is doing. I have a revelation of our relationship that's growing every day because I'm dependent upon Him. And I'm watching Him manifest His glory through me and through my to my family and through all that I deal with. Next, I have been given permission to use the Lord's name. I've told you that. This is one of the most incredible tools in Jesus' name. Stop that. In Jesus' name, Lord, let this sickness be gone. In Jesus' name, loose that demon spirit. In Jesus' name, let healing come. Let my family come into healing in Jesus' name. Let the authorities of the enemy, that whatever is trying to bind us up, to divide us, be bound in Jesus' name. I come against the demon spirits that are trying to divide this country in Jesus' name. You have the ability to be able to do that. And the enemy shudders. And I've told you before, if you see something that is not right, say, in Jesus' name, I render that impotent. Even if you're talking to the television or your computer, opens the heavens. Let me go back and read that scripture. John 14:12-14. Jesus says this: I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father, and you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. You see what Jesus is doing? He's saying, Dad, I taught them this. I taught them how to use my name. See what they're doing? What I did when I went down there to get crucified, I raised up an army so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Lord, I want, the Son says, I want you to see this. I want you to know that they think that you're God, that they believe in this stuff. They recognize who you are because I told them. And the Father says, good job, son. I am a miracle worker and expect results. Nothing is impossible. John 14:12, I tell you the truth. Remember, when I said, I tell you the truth, what Jesus was saying, I'm underlining it. This is important. Not that he would say, I'm telling you a lie. But what he's saying is, I want you to know that this is important. He says, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these. Jesus can't lie. So he's not lying now. And he says, I want you, you know why he said, I tell you the truth? Because he knows that you can't hear it the first time. Give me a break. There's no way in the world that yada, 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 yada. Well, you just talked yourself out of it. You're neutralizing yourself. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me, how many people have faith in the Lord? How many people are in challenging situations that are overwhelming you? Have faith in the Lord, right? Jesus says, I am with you always. I am in situations right now that it's overwhelming me, but not with you, Lord, because you have everything under control. And right now, I may be going through a trial in this situation, but you know that my purpose is to pass the test. And I'm not going to allow the temptation of the enemy to cause me to fold. Jesus believed, I taught on miracles. We have to believe in miracles. There's no way around it. There's no way around Jesus. That's just part of what God does. He does miracles. So when we look at situation and we get despairing and whatever, God says, what you need is a miracle. Yeah, I need a miracle, Lord, but I don't think I'm going to get it. You're not. If you have faith in the Lord, how many of you know that God can do anything? It's not over till He says it's over. And I've told you before, never allow the enemy to bring you to draw a conclusion in the middle of something. Because he'll lie to you. It's not over till God says it's over. And by the time God says it's over, you will have received your breakthrough. As long as we don't quit. Galatians 6:9. Do not grow weary in doing well, for you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. And a lot of people, just get me out of here. You're a miracle worker. Nowhere in the world, in this book, does God say you're excluded. Everybody else can have miracles except you. And I'll tell you something, if you believe, it shall happen. It may not happen the way you think it should happen, but that's good. Because God's smarter than you are. And in the meantime, I'm living in the victory, not yet seen it yet. Right? Somebody? It's not over till God says it's over. And we have seen miracles. You see miracles around you all the time. But when God manifests Himself through you, it's something awesome. You pray for someone, they get healed. You pray for someone, they get the job. You pray for someone, things happen. Unfold correctly. Miracles have not stopped. They're just looking for a way to get out. And the last one today is, I acknowledge that I can defeat the enemy. I think there's one more. No, that's it. I acknowledge that I can defeat the enemy. And these signs, Mark 16:7, says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. Why would he say that? He could have said, in my name they will walk on water. In my name, he says, no. In my name they will break the powers of hell that have control over the things that are in their way. In my name, they have the ability to destroy the works of hell. So when you, and I close with this, when you see hell, go after it. However God wants you to do it. But certainly bind it or loose it, get rid of the thing. Because you have been given the ability to stop the powers of hell on earth. And that's what this is all about. God needs you. He's no longer casting demons out of things. He says, that's your job. And when we see it and we do it, watch what happens. Part 3 next week. Let's close. Father, thank you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. 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 Thank you, Lord, for the confidence that we have, for the understanding that you're teaching us that, Lord, we are to approach life with a sense of not only being victorious, but being a victor. That every one of these things, these challenges that we're dealing with, Lord, they have their answer in you. And we no longer have to put up with the robbery and the garbage. And Lord, I claim that for this nation. Yes. I claim in the name of Jesus Christ that God would again reign in this place. that the power of the Holy Spirit would come and move in a mighty way, stirring up the church, releasing the love of God, which covers a multitude of sins and binds the spirit of the enemy. Lord, we pull down those strongholds that have established itself in the area of race and division and disunity and hate, all of which are manifested by hell itself. And God, we call down heaven on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for the confidence that we have that every word that was spoken, every amen that was said today, you heard it. And you establish it here on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that enduing power that enables us to approach this next week with that confidence that you've gone before us. And you prepared a way that everywhere we go, your kingdom is being established. Father, I ask that you would illuminate what was being said this morning. That your Holy Spirit would stir the words into our spirit man and those that are listening, stirring the spirit of man within us with a sense of urgency, God. And we take back our families, our schools, our government, our nation. And again, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, with liberty and justice for all. And only you can bring it, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I want you to just take a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. More than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. That's good news, folks. You can look up now. It's good news. And then he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. His love never fails. Never gives up. Amen. Let's stand. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Give the Lord a thanks offering. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Love never fails. Take your hand, neighbor's hand. You remember that. His love never fails. His love never fails. It will never fail. And that empowering, that anointing that He created you for will never run dry. You are more than conquerors. And that you, by the Holy Spirit's leading, can walk in into victory every aspect of your life. I pray for my brother and my sister on my right and left, Lord. I release that empowering in agreement with you. Because, Lord, your word says, to agree touching anything, it shall be done by my Father which is in heaven. Lord, I release as I hold their hand, I release as we touch together the truth of what your word says, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. And that everywhere they set their foot, the kingdom of God is released. I bind the spirit of fear, the spirit of doubt, the spirit of injury, the spirit of deception, the spirit of sickness. And I release, Lord, your full provision to them in agreement with your word. And I thank you, Lord, that it shall be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. Father, we receive the anointing that breaks the yoke. We receive your provision, God. And may your favor rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And we thank you in advance in Jesus' name. And all God's happy people said amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering. Amen. Turn around, give somebody a hug. Have an awesome week in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.